Okay, thank you. This is Bill Crozier calling to order the PNB Elections Committee meeting for August 30th, 2016. It's 7:40 p.m. Central Time, 8:40 p.m. Eastern Time. Nancy Sabarner-Tomey, can you call the roll, please?
Okay.
Excuse me, Bill. There's a real strong echo on the line.
Yeah, I guess if you're not talking, please mute yourself, and I will do that too now.
Okay. KPFA, Sharon Adams. I do not hear you, Sharon. Anthony Fess.
Present.
Anthony, present. Margie Wilkinson. I do not hear you, Margie Wilkinson. Okay. And KPFK, Grace Aaron.
Here.
Grace, present. Fred Blair.
Here.
Fred, present. Jan Goodman.
Present.
Jan, present. Charles Frederick.
Present.
Charles, present. Okay, WBAI. Bob Letter.
Here.
Bob, present. Frank Lefebvre. Frank? Can I hear you, Frank? Serene Roberts? Can I hear you, Serene? Next, KPFT? Wesley Bethune?
Here.
Wesley, present. Bob, Bill Crozier?
Here.
Nancy, Bill, present. Nancy Sabar and I, Tony, myself, present. Deb Shafto? Can I hear you, Deb? WPFW, Jim Brown.
Present.
Jim is present. Eric Ramey.
Present.
Eric's present. Nancy Sorden. Nancy, I cannot hear you. Marianne Douglas Mugaro. Marianne, I cannot hear you. Okay. Present is Anthony 1, Grace 2, Fred 3, Jan 4. Charles 5, Bob 6, Wesley 7, Bill 8, Nancy 9, Jim 10. 10 of 15. Is this 15? Wait a minute. How many do we have now? Let's see. Well, 10 of 18. Okay. We have quorum.
Okay, thank you. Would somebody like to be timekeeper, please?
I'll do it, Bill.
Fred, okay. Not sure there's much to keep track of, but... Okay, let me read the draft agenda I sent out last night. Called order and roll call, which we just did. Appointment of timekeeper, we just did. Agenda approval, 5 minutes. Approved minutes from the June 28th, July 20th, and August 11th committee meetings. 10 minutes for that. Developed list of questions and suggestions for our national and local election supervisors, 80 minutes. Review action items, 5 minutes. Set next meeting date for elections committee, 5 minutes. And I guess that's more like confirmed meeting date. Would I hear a motion to adopt the agenda?
So moved.
Okay, thank you. Are there any amendments to the agenda? Okay, and just to let everybody know, if you did miss the email, anybody listening to the stream, Lynn Serpy, our NES National Elections Board, has been ill for the last over a week and could not make it tonight for the call again. So we were the reason I was putting an 80-minute item on there for this, develop a list of questions and suggestions for her, is because she won't be able to be on the call. But we can compile those lists. Okay, any other changes to the agenda or any changes?
A point of information, what is the nature of her illness?
I don't know. And I didn't ask. I actually have not talked with her. I just got email.
Must be pretty serious. Is she in the hospital?
Point of order.
Yeah, Bob?
Yeah, it's not appropriate to discuss people's personal situations on the stream.
Thank you. That's what I was thinking, too. Okay. Is there any other any changes to the agenda? Hearing none, then the agenda is adopted. Thank you. Let's see. The minutes. I believe we had partial minutes sent from June 28th and July 20th, and then a couple hours ago, Nancy Sabariner told me to send us minutes for August 11th. Is that right, Nancy?
August 11th and July 28th should be completed and sent, and I resent the July 28th just now. I'm surprised you're getting the old one, the first one I sent a long time ago.
Okay. Let me see.
So June is not ready yet, but the August and July is.
Okay. Did people have a chance to review those?
No,
anybody have a chance to review them? Well, I guess we need a motion either to approve them or to postpone until the next meeting again.
I move that we table the minutes.
Okay. Or do you table or postpone? I guess effectively.
I postpone.
Okay. Are there any objections to that? Okay, hearing none, then the minutes approval are postponed. So thank you for sending those, Nancy, and everybody please review them before the next meeting, and I guess send Nancy or all of us any corrections you have. And then if you can, do you think you'll be able to finish the June 28th minutes in the next few days? Okay.
Oh, yes.
If you can give it to us at least a day in advance, preferably two or three before the next meeting so people can review them, that would be very helpful.
And I have a question. On the last meeting, August the 11th, I put brackets around anything that was said when she was either the transmission was breaking up while she was on that bus from San Antonio, or it was completely lost and we couldn't hear it at all. So those are the things that, you know, I should. And then we voted, or we decided, you know, y'all would send me something and I would collect it and send it to her, but nobody sent me anything. Did anybody send me anything and I don't know about it? Well, anyway, I didn't get anything, so I forgot about it and I did the minutes, and so I realized, you know, some of these things are irrelevant now, I may take the brackets out. I don't know. I may leave them in. But it didn't come out. It came out funny, I bet, on everybody's computer.
Okay. Are you receiving emails from us, though, Nancy? You said nobody sent you anything.
Yeah, if you put my new email, then I get it. But if you just put Pakulek, I don't get it. And I cannot get on that listserv.
Okay. Well, I'm sending them to the old and new email address, and I'm just curious if you're getting, like, did you get the draft agenda that I sent last night?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. All right.
You're doing the new email you're doing, the dot Manitomi.
Okay. Well, you're from is the different address. You're from email address. That's why I've been sending it to both of them.
Oh, I don't understand this. Anyway, I lost my password, and I can't get my emails on my computer, but I get them on the iPhone. But I don't know what's... So when I send it from my computer, because it's easier to type on a computer, I guess it has the old email.
Okay, well, call me later or ask somebody else maybe to help you to get that changed, perhaps.
I don't
have an iPhone, but I might be able to help you.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, so let's move on, I guess, to the next agenda item, which is the main part of the meeting, which is to develop a list of questions and suggestions for our national and local election supervisors. And I suggest that if you, you know, try to indicate at the beginning if it's a question or suggestion that might help Nancy, and because we might put these in two different groups. Does that make sense?
It does.
Bill?
Would that help? Yes.
Yeah,
who's that?
Must be a reason not getting I don't get your agenda. I get the reply from, but not your agenda. I don't get that.
Okay. Can you email me with your email address? Just send it to the, you can look at the headers and the reply.
I will.
Bill, this is Eric. I'm not getting it either. Can you send it to me?
Yeah, I don't mind getting the giving Matt my email address publicly. So it's kpft@crozierbiomed.com. It's crozierbiomed.com. And but you're both getting it from the Pakalek list. Jim? Well, send me your email addresses, and thank you.
I said yes.
Okay, so Nancy, would that help if everybody indicated if you have it's a question or a suggestion or something else for Lynn, or and then she, I guess, can in turn pass it along to the local election supervisors if it's for them?
Okay, so... everybody's going to send something to me, and we put it, or you're going to, and we'll put it to the, we'll send it to the NES and LES, or for the NES to
Well, I think we should send it to Lynn, unless she says, please just go ahead and send it to the LESs. Of course, everybody can send their own suggestions to their own LES if they want to, but let's go ahead and do this on the meeting so everybody can hear whatever everybody else has. And if you can compile the list for us, Nancy, and get it to us as soon as possible so that we can forward it to Lynn, and then when she feels better,
Bill,
connect on it. Yes. Is that Fred?
Bill, this is Eric. We sent some inquiries to the LES and have not heard back.
Okay.
So it appears, at least in my case, it's better for it to go to directly to the NES.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, wait, no, it did go directly to the NES. I'm sorry. I have not heard back from her.
Okay, and to help Lynn and also Nancy, let's everybody please indicate which station you're talking about, if it's your own station or...
Yeah, this is Eric from PFW.
Okay, thank you.
Bill, this is Nancy.
Yes, Nancy.
I have a request. Yeah, I have a request. Okay. Please write down what you want to say succinctly and send it to all of us or to me, and then I will just, you know, cut and paste and put them all together, and then so everybody sees everything, and it goes to the NES. And I'll ask one more time, since the NES sticks, shall we just put all the CC'd, all the LESs, how does everybody feel?
Well, some of the questions may just cause more confusion if we CC the LESs on everything. Some of the questions may reply to a specific station, for example, or might be something that Lynn needs to act on. I don't know. It depends on what it is.
Was that Nancy that was just speaking?
Yeah, that was Nancy.
Okay, so whoever wants to be on the stack with a suggestion or question?
Point of information, Bill. I just got three emails from Nancy on the July 20th minutes.
Okay. I got, I did too. Thank you. Okay.
Jordan on the stack.
Yeah. Nancy, go ahead.
Are these general questions?
Well, it could be general, or it could be specific for your station, whatever. Anything that you think we need to pass along to Lynn Serpy.
Okay. I was wondering if we can help her workload by maybe answering some of these questions ourselves, the question that I have, and that is, do people know how many listener members each their station has? I'm trying to do a graph of the number of members that people have versus the number of candidates that they have, and to see if, you know, somebody had suggested that WPFW, we only have 6,000 members, and that might be part of the reason we're having such difficulty getting candidates. And I just want to verify that by, you know, getting some data to work with. And so if everybody's here from all the five stations, if people know how many listener members they have, if y'all could tell me what that is, I can go online and look at the number of candidates and, like, do a graph of that, and I'd be happy to present that.
I'm not exactly sure of KPFT, and of course we need both a listener and staff member separately, especially if you're, you may want, you could use the same information to calculate the quorum requirement.
Well,
because that will become important also.
Yeah. The quorum too. I just want to do them separately. I want to do the listeners separate from the staff.
Yes.
So the critical number for me is the listeners.
Okay, that's a good suggestion. Anybody have an answer for that? Does anybody know their membership at their station?
Nancy, KPFT. Nancy,
yeah, go ahead, Nancy.
I think the LESs have these figures, don't they? I mean, we had asked, Bob Better had asked Lynn to give us these figures, and did she? But if she didn't, then the LESs should know, right? Did the PMB get a report?
The PMB did not. No.
No? Okay.
But the LESs is a good idea. If we had one person from each station who'd be willing to contact their LES so we don't get multiple requests for that.
Jan Goodman here.
Answer with a follow-up. It just seems like...
Okay, Jan first and then Nancy again.
I think that, probably Grace has that number. Grace, are you there? Maybe she fell off the call. Let me see if I can get that number for Grace. And might I add that in Los Angeles...
I'm here. What was it, the KPFK number?
The number of listeners at KPFK, and I was going to add that. So I think you have that number. And then I was going to say...
I do have that number. Let me get it, the exact number.
And while she's getting it, may I also say that at least 250 of those addresses were wrong. So that is enough to lower the quorum requirements also. So, you know, the returns mean that those didn't go out, so we have less of a, you know...
threshold.
Threshold.
I'm not sure that changes the quorum. I'd have to read the bylaws more carefully to see.
Well, if we
14,500. But I believe
less 250.
300 were so about 300 were 200 were no good.
Okay,
I don't have the exact number.
14,200.
Is that just listener members, or do you have the staff numbers also?
Yeah, we did the staff as well. So
I'm just interested in.
So
that.
I would say that the listener member, because the list was supposed to be 14,500, we added about 250 staff. So the bad address, I don't have the exact number of that were mailed. I just have the printing number, which was 14,500. Which included some extras so that we could distribute them, and also the staff, which is about 250 people.
Okay. So
Nancy,
we're still
if you deduct that, it's about a little under 14,000, I'd say. So there's at least
staff. I'm sorry, Grace. If you deduct the staff, it's.
Our slate mailer was 14,500 particles printed, postcards printed.
Yeah.
If you deduct 250, we mailed to staff at 250 plus 300 extra slates that we got.
Oh.
So, you know, it's at least 500, I'd say, addressed no goods, maybe 600.
Bill, this is Nancy on the stack.
Okay, and actually we had Nancy Sorden that wanted to say something also, I believe.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Did you want to say something else, a follow-up, Nancy Jordan?
I did want to say that this tally by the NES LESs this year, I think, is really a service to us, you know, to really get some hard numbers.
Right.
It's a good thing to base a survey on.
Could you speak up, somebody? Speak up, Nancy?
Oh, and I mean, I think it's a good thing to base a survey on because the NES and the LESs did a really thorough job of identifying and verifying members, right? Is that
I think that's true. I think that part this addresses that were not correct, that was part of the LES survey of the members.
Okay, well, let me ask. I think it sounds like even for KPFK, we're not exactly sure of the number. So would one of you from KPFK or from each station be willing to ask your LES and see if you can get the number from that person?
Yes.
Bill, can I?
So somebody speak up and say which station
yeah,
people.
Yeah, Bill, last. This is Grace.
Yeah, yeah, Grace.
Two stations do not have LESs. KPFK would not have an LES as far as I know.
Didn't they have one originally?
Yes. Two LESs quit.
Yeah.
KPFA and KPFK.
Did they quit after this data was accumulated or before?
No idea.
It was after the record date. I think it's been in the last month. So you still don't have a replacement LES, is that what you're saying? Because I don't know. Lynn Serpy probably hasn't had time, a chance to do anything on it in the last week and a half, so I assume not. Okay, well, I will. That's a question I can ask Lynn, I guess, when she feels like it. And
I've already got an email out to Lynn, and I was just hoping to save her some time.
That's Nancy Sorden?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, Nancy.
Okay. Well, thank you. Well, just let us know when you get the response. Did you ask for all stations or just yours?
I asked for all stations.
Okay, thank you. Good. All right. Just share that with us when you get it. I guess we also need to clarify or get a clarification from her if the undeliverable ones will be counted as members for quorum. Technically, they probably should be considered as members. We just can't reach.
They're not. They're subtracted. Went through this last year. The last NES explained that.
Okay. All right.
That makes sense. I'm sorry.
Bill, this is Nancy.
That was Serene. Yes, Nancy, go ahead.
Yeah, so the question is we want to know how many members per station, right? And the person who has that information is the LESs, so it'll be a challenge for KPFA or KPFK. So those two stations, I think it's only Anthony here from KPFA, would go to the staff, right, manager?
Well,
no.
I think Nancy Sorden said she's already sent a note to Lynn. Let's keep it on the list so we can follow up, because Lynn Serpy should have the numbers for all stations, because they had to have that for the ballot printing and mailing.
Right.
And that was all handled through Lynn. Okay, any other?
I was just going to say, Nancy, that's a good a piece of information to think about is how many undeliverables there were. That should not be considered as members because they're not there for whatever reason.
Okay. Okay, well, can we move on to other suggestions or questions?
Let's move on to
Eric this day as well.
Okay, Wesley, then Eric.
Yes, I'm looking at my KPFT listener ballot, and the PIN number is not on the ballot. I don't know how we're going to verify our ballot.
Jan Goodman here. Can I respond?
Okay. Jan, if you can have the answer for that.
So the PIN number, there's a scan. There's two scan codes at the top, at least on mine. The top left-hand corner, there's a little, KPFK listener ballot, for instance, there's 9 vacancies, and then there's another scan code. Yours doesn't have those codes in that location?
There's barcodes.
That's what we're talking about. Those are the barcodes.
The PIN number is on the back of your ballot.
I'm looking at PIN numbers. I'm looking at a ballot from KPFA. The PIN number is on the upper. I'm sorry, this is Nancy Sordon. I'm not sure what I'm looking at here.
This is Serene.
Well, this, yes, Serene.
PIN numbers, at least on the DAI ballots, were on the back. Along with the website that tells you you can go here to vote, here's your PIN number. But the question is, how will someone be able to look for their ballot to be sure it was included in the count?
Okay, well, let me just also to answer Wesley, because I guess his ballot's like mine. The KPFT, it's on the front. It's on the separate tear-off tub. I think everybody should be on a tear-off stub with the return address, your name and address, and the return address.
Right, but people aren't keeping that. They're sending that back.
Right, they would need to make a copy of it or write that down in order to verify it, buy it. You're right. I think that's kind of the way it's been the last few elections, though. Maybe all the elections. It doesn't tell you make a copy, necessarily.
Request for information.
Okay, who is that? Nancy?
Nancy. Okay. So what you just said was that on the ballot, on the KPFT ballot, there's that teeny tiny barcode at the top above the ballot, and there's a little bit larger one in the middle, and then there's one on the stub that you're supposed to keep. Those are all the same?
On mine, it has a box. It has a rectangle above the return address that goes to Merced, California. And inside the box, it says your online voting PIN, colon, and then a number.
Yes, number. But isn't the barcode the same thing? It's in a
I don't know.
Translated for easy reading, but the barcode is not the same. Oh, I don't know either. I thought you knew somebody.
Yeah. Goodman here.
Okay, Jim had a response to this too, I believe.
And Jan Goodman on the stack.
Okay, Jim?
Yeah, it looks very confusing here. I don't know why it has to be this way. And when did it get to be this way? Because you should be able to not have any problem at all knowing who you voted for and seeing where your vote actually got cast for. There shouldn't be a problem with that. Why is it this way? I don't understand.
Okay, well, which are you talking about?
I'm talking about the fact that you can't find your PIN number.
Red for the stack.
Let me just respond real quick. I don't know if how the others look, but on the KPFT ones, at least on mine, it has the PIN number in a rectangle box. It says your online voting PIN, and it lists the number, and it's above. It's on the tear-off stub with the return address and my address and name. And it will probably, the same number should also be in emails that you get. If you're in the email, if your email address is in your member database, you'll be getting emails on how to vote online, and it's the same number, I believe.
Is that true?
What was that, Jim?
Is that true for all stations?
I can't verify that. I don't know. Jan wanted to say something about this too.
Are the ballots? This is Nancy Sorting. I have a question.
Yeah. Well, Jan was next on the stack about this particular item, and then.
So, with regard to Serene's question of how you know if your ballot was received and counted. The way they did it last time is that they had pictures of all of the ballots, like scans of all the ballots, so you could, like, look through all the scans to see if yours was there. And what I suggested to people that they do if they wanted to be able to check to see if their ballot was there without having to somehow try to read the barcodes was that I suggested they make a little picture or initials or something that would identify to them what their ballot was and make a little squiggle of whatever, could be like a bear face or whatever in a little corner of the ballot so that they wanted to go through the ballots you know, just kind of scanning them all, they could find theirs if they wanted to do that. That's a very low-tech way of doing it, but if people wanted to suggest that to their friends, to whoever, a practical way. Otherwise, you have to compare the PIN numbers, which is, you know, like would be making your eyes bleed. If
Fred for the stack.
That's all.
Bill, did you get dropped?
Bill, are you there?
Apparently not, because Fred keeps trying to speak.
Oh, sorry, I was muted. I'm sorry, I was muted. I'm talking. Yeah, Fred, go ahead.
No, there was somebody between me and Fred.
Oh, Nancy Sorden again.
Well,
why don't we let Fred go, because he hasn't spoken on this.
Okay, what I remember from the last year's election is when you voted online, they sent you an email with a special ballot number that you could then look in the database for the ballots and see how you had voted. Plus, the email contained your ballot choices. So it was an end-to-end being able to compare how you voted in the election. You had ways of doing it. Jan's suggestion is way too complex. In any case, I was able to compare my ballot with how I voted, and it worked out fairly nicely. And I assume they will do exactly the same this time. When you vote either by paper or by email or by online, they'll send you an email with an encrypted PIN number that you can then use to look at your the ballots.
Okay, thank you.
Information?
Serene?
I just want to clarify, okay. Yeah. Did I hear Fred say that if you vote by paper, you're going to get an email confirmation?
I said that. I maybe misspoke.
Yeah, I haven't heard about getting an email confirmation if you vote on paper. But everybody who has email addresses in your member database should get an emails maybe every couple of weeks. I'm not exactly sure the frequency with the same information so you can vote online even if you didn't get your paper ballot or if you lose it.
Bill?
Okay.
Bill?
Yeah, is that Adriana?
Yes, I'm sorry. I know that there's a lot of questions. I'm not a member, but I can clarify some of the things that are being said, and some of them are not accurate.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. The KPFT ballots, I can talk about KPFT ballots. On the left side, on top, you have a barcode. You have a big barcode that is the same number that is in the envelope, and identify the station. Then you have a barcode that says my ballot, true ballot, will only use this barcode for validating ballots, do not defeat or remove. Then we have a little stub, the stub that detach the stub, and in our KPFT ballot, and I think that in KPFK is the same situation, it's again the same barcode that is in the ballot where you rank the candidates. Then you have your online voting PIN number is there, the address, your name, and your address. The only problem with this is that this is the first time that, I mean, the ballots are being, ones that are being received, the paper ballots, I mean, they are input into the system, and then every year we have the option to go there and check, because our personal ballots have a number that only the people that receive it and fill it up knows, and we can go there and check if our ballot is being counted and our rankings are the one that we input there. Well, this year this is not possible with this ballot that we received, because once that the ballot is input there, it's not any number for us, like listeners, to go and check if this is my ballot or not.
Exactly.
That is the main problem. And I know that it's happening, I asked people in other stations, and I know that only that is only happening with, at least with K and T, and doesn't make any sense that the stats that have our number, our address, our PIN number, our barcode, we are sending in there, and, you know, I mean, what is the purpose of sending that back there? For what purpose? I mean, once that the ballot is being input and they said on top that if the barcode is there, why they need that stat with all my personal information and a PIN that allowed anybody, know exactly how, in this case, me, vote?
Okay, I mean, well, let me get back to the – I think I can answer that, but let me just let some of the other people of the committee go that have been waiting, if that's okay. Let's see. Well, Eric has actually been waiting for quite a while. Did you want to talk about this issue, Eric, or was it something else?
No. It was something else. So I was letting everybody address specifically
Nancy
what you.
Gordon.
Okay. Nancy, well, okay, Nancy Gordon. Then.
Yeah.
Ahead, Nancy.
So, I see that there's an issue that is. So let me understand you, Adriana. So on the KPFT and the KPFK ballot, the PIN number is associated with you. And on the other ballots, the PIN number is only associated with the ballot. Is that correct?
Exactly.
Okay, so that is a big problem because that means that everyone will know, I mean, that means that the voting company will know how an individual person voted, and that's not a secret ballot.
Okay, well, this is Bill.
So wait,
oh,
and then there's another problem. Is there another problem in that the PIN number is only on the ballot that you send back and not on the stub that you keep? For KPFK.
Okay, I think I can answer that. I think
KPFK.
The PIN number. Okay, I think, the ballot layouts are different. For different stations, because I know KPFK and KPFT had more candidates, and the whole sheet was a legal size. And I believe Lynn said that the other stations were 8.5 by 11, and they maybe turned 90 degrees or something. I'm not sure. I haven't, but anyway, but I think on all of them, the tear-off stub that had your own individual address and name, and then also the return address, also was supposed to have your PIN. Your online voting PIN, and that has to be returned to the true ballot so that they can verify that, and yes, this would allow them to identify it's you, but it would allow them to keep you from voting twice. So, for example, if you voted online and also by paper, I'm not sure which one would be counted, probably whichever one they get first, I'm guessing. I'm not sure. But they have to be able to identify that, or if you were disqualified for some reason, they have to have some way of taking that out. That's always been the case in every election. But the way they've done it in the past, in that the stub is separated when it arrives, they verify that it's not a duplicate, and then they separate the stub from the ballot, and the ballot is then processed. And I assume this is the same, will be done the same way as in the past, and having the tear-off stub would allow them to do that. But they have to have some way of verifying that you're not just photocopying somebody else's ballot, for example.
So you're
saying
that.
That
answers one of the questions. Is Nancy Sorden again?
Okay, go ahead.
So you're saying that the ballot
True Ballot receives the ballots with your PIN number and your name, and this is across the board at all stations, and that they do that to verify that you only vote once and you're not voting with another station or whatever. And that the part that you keep still has your PIN number on it so that you can go in and check to make sure that your vote was tallied as you intended it to be tallied.
Actually, one correction. You do not keep any part of it. It will not be counted if you don't return that stub.
Yeah.
Because that's the only way they can tell that whose it is and that you're not just, you know, photocopying your ballot and sending it in multiple times.
So there's nothing that you keep unless you write it down yourself.
Right. You should make a copy of it or write it down. I think, I'm not sure, but if it was like last year, the emails that most people will get will have the exact same PIN number in it. So if you've already mailed it in, look for an email, and it'll probably have the same PIN number because that way it keeps you from voting twice. You can do vote by mail or by email, but not both.
Mm-hmm. This is Grace. Can I ask a question?
Yes. Grace?
Does anyone have the exact date and time that email ballots were mailed out? I did not get my paper ballot, and Ken did get his. So I'd like to just search for the email, and I'm sure other people would as well. Does anyone have that date and time?
August 24th.
August 24th? Do you know what time it was? Is that for KPFK?
Yeah, it was mailed, Grace, it was mailed from True Ballot, and it was mailed at 8:39 p.m. on August 24th.
That's very helpful. Thank you, Fred.
All of them may not have gone out at the same exact time, though.
This is Jim.
Okay, Jim?
Nancy Sorden again. Clarification.
Okay.
Clarification.
Okay, well, let's let Jim go first.
I don't know if Nancy has the same question I have. I'm still not clear as to why the ballots are different for different stations. The number of candidates, the number of members, and so forth should not change the voting process. But why is it different? That's what I'm trying to get a clarification.
Because it changes how the information has to be arranged on the sheet. So that in New York, for example, we have 14 listener candidates. Some stations seem to have like 30. So not only is the length of the sheet different, but how the information is arranged to make it easy for people to actually register their preferences is different. But can
Nancy Sorden was on the stack. Yeah. So, Nancy, go ahead.
Okay. I am looking at my ballot. Okay. My PIN number is on my ballot. It says I should detach this stub from the ballot along a perforated line and place the ballot and stub in a return envelope. So I do not return this stub with the ballot. And my PIN number is not on my stub. There's lots of barcodes on my stub, but no PIN number. I'm assuming that the barcode decodes the PIN number. But
okay.
I think what needs to happen is people need to be told that they need to write their PIN number down on their stub, so that they can go online and check how their ballot was cast.
Okay.
Adriana?
Did you get that? Are you getting this, Nancy Sabar-Nertomi, these suggestions?
I am not going to take responsibility for all these questions. I want y'all to write down the questions that you want to give and send them to me or send to everybody.
Okay, yeah, please send them to all the committee. That way we'll know that if there's somebody else has already submitted the same thing. Okay.
Please,
let me just say, Nancy Sorden, I think it looks like there's some differences apparently between stations, because on mine, the PIN number is on the tear-off stub, and it says the instructions right above the perforation say detach the stub from the ballot, et cetera, and place ballot and a stub in the return envelope. So I think you're right. We need to send out some clarifications to people.
I'm sorry, you're right. And
this is Serene, please.
Okay. All right. Yeah, you're next, Serene, so go ahead.
Okay. Respectfully, the questions that we're asking each other are really questions that Lynn needs to answer. And, I mean, I've not gotten a ballot, so I can't even tell you what New York really looks like, although I took a peek at someone else's ballot. But I just don't think we're being very productive. We're giving a lot of if and perhaps, and, you know, it's not a really great use of time. We need to ask Lynn, and we need to get sample copies of a ballot from each station so we all know what we're talking about. That's just my suggestion.
Okay.
I mean, I think we should move on to the next subject. We're not getting anywhere here.
Yeah, and I know that Eric has been patiently waiting to come up to introduce something else also.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to curtail anyone's particular inquiry. I just don't, just keep talking.
Okay, well, thank you, Serene. I think this has been helpful. It's taken a long time, but I think it is clear that, we need some clarification sent out, like at least what to do with the stub, for example. And whether you... Yeah, okay. Well, let's go to Eric, and then we'll get to Wesley.
Well, Nancy just indicated that questions should be sent to her, but I mean, should I bring this up orally right here now as well, or
I think
I can't.
This is on the this is on the agenda, so yeah, it may prompt other people to.
We're having a little bit of blowback in Washington. Questions arising again. It seems like. There's more questions than there are answers. I was hoping we could get something in writing from Lynn specifically as to what the policy is when we have fewer candidates than we have seats. We had a meeting with one of the committees the other evening, and I think a letter is being drafted to that effect to be sent to her as opposed to the LES. But that's the first question. What's the official policy? And I think it would be best to come from her. So that's the question. Can we have that in writing from you? Secondly, I mean, we have, I don't know if you got a chance to listen. I sent something to Serene in terms of an inquiry from her. The PSAs that we have on the air, I don't know if anybody got the email I sent out. Rather than individually, they're being played in a cluster. I mean, literally three at a time. Bap, bap, bap. I mean, if that's the case, why not just play all 10? But I mean, it seems very unfair to the candidates. And I wanted to know not so much why it's being done that way as opposed to can it be changed. And then thirdly, without sounding like whipping a dead horse here. Our senior staff, I know for a fact, had, based on the enthusiasm we had for the LES last year, specifically requested someone else. And we were essentially told that the person you had last year, despite your reservations about him, this is the best fit for you. And I'm trying to determine how it was decided who would go where in terms of an LES. But most importantly, the concern here is about the official policy. When you have fewer candidates than you have available seats, we need that in writing. And then the other thing about the format of these PSAs being clustered as they are. I mean, it's just not workable. It sounds awkward. Again, it's just it's grossly unfair to the candidates.
Point of personal privilege.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Nancy? Yeah.
Okay, I cannot write all these down. Everybody who...
No, Nancy, I'm sending them to you. I'm going to mail them. I'm emailing them to you.
Okay, good. And then you're CCing the group, right? So they know...
Does it go out on a burst?
A burst? You mean listserv?
Yes.
Yes.
Are you getting the pack of luck emails, Nancy? Maybe that would be the best address to use to send it. Or you're not getting those? Okay.
I cannot get the packet, like, but I'm getting emails that y'all put on, but because somebody is, I think you are putting my new email on there. Okay, I'll send everybody my new email just for good keeping, and y'all send me those things, and can you put the Pac-Lex so everybody has a carbon copy to see what's going on? Because
I would suggest you send it to the Pac-Lex list, too, for I think most of the people at least are on that, and also to Nancy's separate address. Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Nancy Soren, to the exact point of clarification.
Okay. Well, looks like, were you finished, Eric?
Yes, let me just make sure. Grayson. No, I mean, I'm fine. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. Nancy Sorden, go ahead.
Yeah. Nancy Barnari, I'm sorry. I'm still learning.
Yes, Nancy.
If you need to be on the PAC-ELEC list, and if you email Janet Coburn, the secretary, she will have Otis put you on there.
It's not so easy. I have a different problem. I forgot my password, and so I'm being punished. And so it's not so easy. So I'm sorry.
The PAC-ELEC list is a Yahoo group. It's not a KPFTX group. Those don't work anymore.
I just want to clarify that you definitely need to be on there.
I know I'd like to see
the group, but I can help you later on and help you to get access.
I believe Bob can add you to the PAC-ELEC list. Is that right, Bob?
Somebody can explain to you.
No, anyway, let's not spend time on this.
We can help you.
Let's handle this offline if you can, but I think Bob is the only person who can add you to the PAC-ELEC list.
Can I clarify?
Let's let Bob respond, please.
Everybody should be on that PAC-ELEC list by now.
Bob, go ahead.
Yeah, as soon as we knew of everyone's status on the committee, everyone who had become a member this year, shortly after that, I sent invitations through Yahoo groups. That's how it has to be done, to join the list. And they can only add people that have accepted. So, and in some cases, I've done it two times.
Yes, but it's not accepting me. Let's not waste time on this.
Yeah, I don't think we should get into that on this call.
And I've lost my credibility, I guess, with these companies. I just can't get on.
Okay, Nancy, why don't you contact Bob separately off the list, out of the meeting?
To get fixed.
Okay. Let's see. Who was next on the stack?
Especially
if he hasn't spoken before. Well, is there anybody that hasn't spoken before that wants to talk?
Seven here again.
Who? Was that Wesley? I couldn't tell who that was.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead, Wesley.
The thing. There's 26 candidates to KPFT running for listener.
You're breaking up, Wesley. Can you move to see if you get better reception?
Can you not hear me?
Oh, now I can.
That was beautiful.
What I'm saying is, just to dispel perhaps a previous thought, that there wasn't room to put the PIN number on the ballot. There's 26 rooms, but there's a margin of at least 4 inches down there with plenty ample room to put the PIN number. It just wasn't done. Thank you.
Okay. Who else wants to have another suggestion or question for Lynn?
Nancy, KPFT.
Okay, go ahead, Nancy.
Is it a good idea to write your PIN number on that ballot?
Why?
Well, then you can see it if you're looking at a photo copy.
I don't know. I guess add that to the list of questions for Lynn. I don't know.
The PIN number is on the ballot. printed
on. Is it on this tear-off stub? Or on the ballot itself?
It's on our K50 stub. It's not on the ballot.
Just remember, the stub gets torn off.
But it gets sent in.
Fred, yeah. For the stack.
But the photocopy will not.
Yeah, the pin on the KPFK ballot that I have the pin number printed out in numbers, and it's also in a barcode, and the barcode is in both on the stub and in two places on the ballot. So the ballot company, when they scan it, scan the ballot, they have ways of, they can see the barcodes, which is basically the pin number. I don't know if that's different on other stations' ballots, but I would think it would be, they would follow that same format.
Okay, thank you. I guess we could just ask Lynn to clarify the barcodes and the PIN numbers, but yeah. Nancy, go ahead.
Yeah, what Fred just said is that the barcodes and the PIN numbers are the same thing? Fred?
Do you know Fred?
Yes. The PIN number is under the barcode, and the barcode is replicated in three or four different places, both on the tear-off stub and on the ballot.
Okay. Now, I have a question. I have a point of personal privilege.
Okay, well, hold on, Nancy. Serene?
Okay. Are we going to talk about anything other than those ballots tonight? Because if not, I'll just assume... leave the call.
Well, it's whatever questions or suggestions people have. So,
But we don't all have the same ballot. We're going in circles.
Okay. Well, if you have other suggestions besides ballots, you can bring those up too, of course.
Point of clarification, Nancy Sorden.
Okay, Nancy.
I think we're trying to establish if we all have the information that we should all have on the ballots. Should we all have certain information on our ballot, regardless of the layout? Should we all have a PIN number on our ballot and a barcode on our ballot and a barcode on our stub? Do some people have something else where their PIN number is so they don't have to write it down and they can... And also, my question to Fred is, how can you check your ballot was voted the way you... voted, say, how do you check on, you know, that your ballot was, how do you verify that your ballot was counted the way you voted it?
Can I respond?
Go ahead, Fred.
All I can respond is what I remember from last year was that when I voted, I was sent an email. I voted online. I didn't use the paper ballot. I was sent an email from the company with a special PIN number that I could use to view my particular ballot in the ballot database, and to confirm that my ballot was recorded the way I actually voted. Now, I don't know if that was a different company last year. I don't know exactly what True Ballot's going to do this year. So Lynn would have to answer that question. But I assume that there will be some way for us to go in and view our particular ballot within the ballot database this year to confirm that it was recorded the way we actually voted and supposedly tallied that way.
Eric to the stack, if I could.
Okay, thank you, Fred. Okay, go ahead, Eric.
And Goodman to the stack also, please.
I'm not going to try and play devil's advocate here, but I'm just referencing the presidential election the one where John Kerry ran for Massachusetts. There's no ideal way to verify that your vote was counted. I mean, they had massive fraud.
Point of order? Nancy Sorden?
Point of order? Yeah, Nancy?
The presidential election is done completely different than how we're doing it. You cannot go online and check how you voted.
You're right, but let's let Eric finish, though. but good point.
I'm just saying, his point is not germane. His point is wasting our time.
Okay, well, let me just, if it's relevant, go ahead and finish. I don't know what else he's going to say.
I'm just saying, on an electronic ballot, the ballot can literally be deleted. There's no way to confirm or verify that it was counted, I mean, in terms of the discussion we're having. It's virtually impossible to do that.
Okay, well, let me just explain. I know in the past, including last year, and in press elections, the scanned ballot images have been public. They're put up on a website. I assume True Ballot will be doing the same thing, so that theoretically anybody could go and print off or download every one of the ballots and do your own separate count to verify the count. Because they're scanned images, you could either look for a PIN number if it's on there or a stray marking like Jan was suggesting you put. I've done the same thing. I put a mark somewhere on the ballot in the margin just so I could easily find it if I had to scan through a bunch of hundreds of images. And so you can verify that your ballot is in there. In order to verify all of the counting was correct, you would have to, you know, count every one of the ballots, which could be done theoretically. And that is different, as Nancy was saying, from the public elections, because there's no way of the ballot images are not public there.